Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for the sermon is the gospel lesson, especially the words from Jesus. Verse 29, come. Verse 31, O logopista, why did you doubt? And then to start out a little bit less formal, what a guy. Just plain out and out fun to know. Jesus is not like the pasty, sickly, strangely gaunt, silent, ascetic types that the movies sometimes portray him as. This is Jesus, full of life and life-giving. And so the disciples get to follow Jesus around and watch him heal the sick, raise the dead. Just before this lesson, 5 loaves and 2 fish. And he takes them and speaks a blessing, breaks them, and then 5,000 men plus women plus children are fed with 12 baskets full of broken pieces left over. And then sends the disciples out on the lake. The text establishes absolutely who Jesus is. After feeding the 5,000, multiplying bread and fishes, giving bread from heaven, he shows himself as the one who rules the elements so that he walks on water, stills the wind and the waves, does amazing things with water, controls it, walks on it. In the Gospel of John, he changed water into wine. And then later in the Gospel of John, he used water, spitting on the ground to make clay with the saliva and the mud and put it on the eyes of the man born blind and tells him to go wash, and he comes back seeing. So it really should be no surprise that Jesus decided to take that same humble stuff, water, and join it to the Word of God and join it to the name of God and use it to forgive and wash away your sins and mine. He is God. And yet all the business of Jesus being great to be with would do us absolutely no good, would do the disciples absolutely no good without that other part of the something to get rid of the problem of sin separating us from the love of God. Which now goes to the question of the interplay between the Word of God and faith. And the question, what is faith? As we say it time and time again, and from Luther, faith is nothing else than believing the words and promises of God. Which is actually a very simple thing, isn't it? Believing the words and promises of God. We get into difficulty when we start to complicate it. It's not only believing, it's also doing. It's not only believing, it's also accepting. It's not only believing, it's also trusting. But it is a simple thing, and in Peter's case, believing one word, come. That's actually a small thing. Very small thing. Believing one word from God. And in Peter's case, it was one of those sudden moments of understanding. If he commands, I can do that. If the word is there, then anything can happen. And since we're talking about small things, I've got a few small questions about the walking on water. When you step down on the water, is it soft? Does it give? Or is it firm? Those who remember jumping on mom and dad's bed know what I'm talking about, right? When Peter walked on the water, was there a rising and a falling because of the waves? Or did they flatten out in front of him? How is it not slippery? You're out driving and there's a sudden downpour and there's standing water, and if you're going too fast, you're hydroplaning and because you're on liquid water. How do you make liquid water not slippery? Did Jesus increase the surface tension or just cause the molecules to be all moving up at exactly the right time? Only one word. And then amazing things happen with this small thing. But there are greater words. And the Word of God is always built around Jesus. And the promises of God always center in on Jesus and on the cross of Jesus. The cross is at the center, it always must be. God gives His Word. And He gives His Word simple and plain, and He gives His Word mixed together with water, and He gives His Word in the Lord's Supper with bread and wine. But there are greater words than to Peter, come. When Jesus says, your sins are forgiven and you believe it, we have exactly what the Word promises, forgiveness of sins. And when Jesus says, because I live, you also will live, and you believe it, then you have taken a hold of eternal life and the resurrection of the dead and your resurrection of your body. And when Jesus says, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and you believe it, that's how we remember our baptism and the promises of God there in and with the water. And when Jesus says, this is my body given for you, this is my blood shed for you for the forgiveness of sin, and you believe it, then you have an eternal meal and you have eternal words put into your soul, and the risen from the dead body of Jesus put into your body. And there it is, the words and promises of God. Peter latched on to the one word and things happened. That's why it's the same Peter later on the next day. After the feeding of the 5,000 and after the walking on the water and after getting to the other side of the lake and after the crowds found Jesus there back in Capernaum and started peppering him with questions, and after he said, the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. And many of them left. And Jesus asked Peter, what about you? It's the same Peter who said, well, we sang it just a few moments ago, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. And there it is. Simply the words and promises of God and eternal life in them. But there's Peter out on the water walking and came to Jesus. And then started to look around and doubt and begin to sink. And Jesus grabs him by the hand and pulls him up and says, Oligopiste, why did you doubt? Term of endearment, little faith one. Okay, that's us, little faith ones. I'll take that. Because we hear the word of God. We believe that word of God. We take it into our souls, and then we look around us. The world's a mess. We look inside of us, and we are sinful people in a sinful world. And we wonder. Maybe we ask, Lord, you got this? Lord, have you got me? Faith being the simple thing of believing the words and promises of God. We want to do a harder thing and let go of the simple. And it's been that way since the Garden of Eden. Little faith ones. There you are, taking those baby steps of faith, holding on to the Word of God, or maybe it's the other way around, the Word of God holding on to you, because what does Jesus do? In the middle of our doubts, what does he do? He speaks the words again and again. He speaks the promises of God into the soul over and over and over again. Why did you doubt? And then he will go speaking the word of God to them. And they'll grab a hold of it, and then after a while they'll begin to doubt, and he'll speak the promises again and again and again. Because it's the word of God that has to create the faith. Strangely enough, just a little smidgen of something from politics. Declaration of Independence. Truths that are self-evident, what does that mean? It means that the truth proves itself. And there are terms in theology and seminary. The word is self-authenticating. The words and promises of God entering into the soul, they bring the faith with them. They plant themselves in the soul and cause faith to grow. And it's like Paul said, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that is not from yourselves, it is a gift from God. How he creates the faith is that he continues to speak his promises. Lord, do you have us? And the answer will come back again and again and again and again, and it will be the words and promises of God, and that is God's answer. Yes, I do. My sheep hear my voice. I know them. They follow me. I give eternal life to them. Yeah. He has all of this. In Jesus' name, amen.